Good morning, everyone. It's a better morning than yesterday, isn't it? That hymn we were singing, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Well, it fits with the message and the study we're engaged in, but it also suits what we have just been through regarding the weather. We had the tail end of a hurricane that in its full fury was way out there near the coast of North America, if I'm not mistaken. But it has come over the Atlantic. But as it came over the Atlantic, it sort of blew itself out. And we just got the tail end of it and all that rain. And it was quite windy yesterday. It was the tail end of the hurricane. We don't appreciate how good are the climatic circumstances that we live under here in this island. We might complain about a lack of sun and too much rain, but believe me, there are places and they are hoping for rain and praying for rain and longing for rain and would love just a little less sunshine. We live in a place that's very much a temporal zone, so we don't get too much of anything, and we ought to be very thankful for that. All right, let's turn to Romans, the chapter 15 and the verse 4. Now you should be all able to turn up Romans 15:4 by now. We've done it so often. Here's what the verse 4 says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime or before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God has been thinking about you and your learning. He wants you to learn. And what he wants you to learn, he has written in the Bible. He's written it in the Bible. You neglect the Bible. And you neglect the things that God wants you to learn. Now, we're looking at this verse because, hopefully, very soon, we're going to start looking at the record of some of the people whose lives are set forth in the Scripture. We started off noticing how the Lord Jesus said about John the Baptist that he was a burning, a shining light. And there were many like John the Baptist whose lives were just like that, a burning and a shining light, just like a lighthouse. I don't know if you have seen a lighthouse, but it's a building, most of them built a long time ago, on a rocky shore, near dangerous reefs and rocks that ships in former times had been wrecked upon, and men decided we better build something that will signal the presence of these rocks. And they built a tall lighthouse with a very bright light at the top, which shone out a beam. It went usually round in a circle, and so every so often this beam would flash out in every direction, and ship would see it clearly and know to stay away from that area. Now, God has set up lighthouses. They're not tall buildings, but rather they are the records of the lives of men and women and boys and girls recorded in the Bible. And they send out a message, they send out a warning, and we should take note of them. God wants us to read about them and learn and take note of what it is they warn about. We'll be coming to that. But we're still introducing our subject, taking note of the fact that in the Bible there are things we have to learn, lighthouses from which we should take warning. And as we learn, we obtain two things here. Patience. That's the first thing. We're coming to that today. Patience. Then it also mentions hope. We'll come to that, oh, soon, I'm sure. So today we're considering patience. Anybody any ideas what patience is? Define for me what patience is. I'll patiently wait a moment or two to see if anybody gives me an answer. Oh, you're going to try, Joe. Let's hear. That's it. Patience is waiting for something, but not waiting agitated, but waiting quietly, waiting contentedly. That's what patience is. The New Testament use of the word patience refers to the endurance of a person who is not made to swerve away or shift their position from trusting in and leaning upon and believing in God's purpose, the revelation that he has given in his word. There's a loyalty to what God has said in the person who is patient, and they don't shift, they don't change. Not even when the greatest of trials and troubles and tribulations break upon them, and sometimes they're made to suffer for their leaning upon, their trusting in the Lord. The patient person endures it all and doesn't shift, doesn't move. That patience comes from our reading of and our studying of and our believing in the Bible. Look at again what it says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience, as we read the Bible and learn what it says, patience grows within our hearts and minds. Grows within our hearts and minds. So then, let's learn, boys and girls, a very important truth. As we read the Bible, we are enabled to bear patiently life's trials. Let me give you a simple illustration of what it is I mean. Maybe you haven't traveled too often on a bus. Most of you probably just travel in the family car. But a lot of people still travel by public transport and use a bus. And they have to wait on it. They go to the bus stop, there's one there in Kilskerry, and they wait on the bus. They're there, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, before the schedule says that the bus will pass through Kilskerry, and they're waiting. Now, sometimes buses are late. Those who travel on buses might say, not sometimes, but always. Well, I don't know. But sometimes, at least, they're late. And consequently, when you look at your watch, the time, the schedule says the bus should be here, but there's no bus. And you will find the person at the bus stop. Maybe it's a sheltered bus stop. You know, a nice little shelter and a little seat that you can sit down on. And they'll get up and they'll go out and they'll look up the road to see if the bus is appearing. No sign of it, they'll go back in and they'll sit down. And after a little minute, they look again and up. They're running out of patience. They're agitated. They're up and down looking. But perhaps where they are, there's a long straight in the road and they can see quite a distance. And suddenly round the corner comes the bus. And immediately their impatience, their agitation goes. And a smile breaks out on their face. They gather up whatever hand luggage they have and they quietly wait for the bus that they now can see coming. As we read the Bible, boys and girls, we see a view away down the road ahead of us. And we can see that which God has promised coming, coming. Let's look at a subject that you older ones in particular will have heard something about. In the world, there's a great bit of agitation today about global warming. There's a global warning about global warming. And there's great concern about melting ice and all the rest of it. The agitation was led, it would appear, by a teenager from Sweden, whom I must confess, I think would know very little about the subject. But anyway, there's much agitation in the United States, in the United Nations, in Canada, and in other places. There's this agitation. What are we going to do? We're all going to be shuttered out. But the Christian, as they read the Bible, they can see away down the road. They can see what God has said is going to happen to the world. And believing God, they're patient. They're not agitated. They know the world's not going to be flooded again, for God has said that. They know that what one of the princes of the royal house, Prince Harry, said. He said, humanity is heading for extinction. Rubbish. Why does Prince Harry say that? Because unlike you, Prince Harry likely has never read his Bible. If he read his Bible, he would see that the human race is not going to become extinct and cease to be. The human race will exist forever. Forever. Some of the human race will exist forever in heaven. That's where some of the human race will spend all eternity. And those who are not in heaven for all eternity, they will be forever under God's wrath and judgment in hell. They'll not cease to be. They'll not become extinct. They will exist forever in one of those two places. Now, let me ask you this morning, will it be heaven or hell for you? Which will it be? I hope it's going to be heaven for you if you're saved. Because it will be heaven for you if you are saved, but it won't be heaven for you if you're not saved, if you're not washed in the precious blood of Christ and your sins have been forgiven by God because Christ died for you. As we read the Bible then, we see God's plan, we see what God is going to do, and we don't suffer from agitation and nervousness and worries. We're patient. We're patient. This comes from reading the Bible. It comes from reading the Bible. As we read the Bible, we discover what God has planned and purposed for us. It's all going to work out. You old ones, quickly, turn to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it's the last verse of that chapter. You see what it says? Well, you can see what it says by looking at it, but do you understand what it says? Do you take in what it says? Do you rejoice in what it says? It says, therefore. Now, the word therefore always follows a series of arguments, the setting forth of certain truths and facts upon which we can draw a conclusion. Paul is saying, because all the things I've just said are true, therefore. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. Ah, boys and girls, notice that word. Ye know. Now, you only know when you read the Bible. That's the source of knowledge, that book there. The only source of knowledge. Eternal, lasting, unchangeable knowledge. And when we read the Bible, we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Go back to that person standing at the bus stop. No sign of the bus. Do you know what they begin to think? Did I miss the bus? Maybe they've changed the schedule and there's no bus today. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. They're in confusion. But the child of God, when they read the Bible, they know that what God has said will come to pass. And therefore, as they obey him and as they live for him, it's not a waste of time. God's plan will work out exactly as he stated. That's what comes when you read the word of God. And whatever trials may come, you're not shaken by them. Whatever doubts people may raise, you dismiss them. You remember we mentioned the vine and how that if it wasn't tied to a frame, it would flop on the ground. Well, a Christian is like the vine. They're tied to a frame. The frame is the word of God. That's where we have taken hold of. And being tied to the word of God, no matter what winds blow or doubts are sounded, we remain strong and firm and upright because we're tied to the word of God. The Bible says. That's our answer to all the doubts of men. The Bible says. God says. I always remember when I first became a Christian and started attending Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church where the minister was Dr. Ian Paisley. He was in his zenith then, in his full strength as a preacher of the gospel. And I quickly learned that one of the key phrases that he employed when he was preaching was, "Thus saith the Lord." He was forever answering the challenges of those who criticized him. Didn't like the stand he was taking and they would hurl all sorts of accusations against him. And he would answer them, "Thus saith the Lord." And he would show from the Bible how that they were wrong and what he was trying to do was right. And what he was saying was right. And I learned That's the answer to all the world's accusations and doubts. Thus saith the Lord. God has said, this is so. Doesn't matter what you say, what the world says, what God says will stand. It will stand. So when we read the Bible and hear what God has to say, we can, with patience, endure whatever life throws at us. Listen to this verse in the Epistle of James. That's way at the end of the Bible. Almost the last book, almost. James chapter 5 and verse 11 says, ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The story of Job teaches us patience, because we see the end of the Lord. That word means the purpose of the Lord. When we read the story of Job and all the troubles he went through, we come to the end of the story and we realize what it was God was working out, what God was seeking to produce in the life of Job. And consequently we say, ah, that's why the Lord allowed all those troubles to come to Job, because God wanted to bring about this wonderful end in the life of Job. And if you read the last chapter of Job, what a blessing God poured out upon Job. What a blessing God poured out upon Job. And as we read that story, we learn patience. We learn patience. If trouble comes upon us, if we're attacked and abused by the world, we patiently bear with it, because God will use all that to bring about good in our lives. That's what we learn from the Bible. That's what we learn from the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, boys and girls, and here we close. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's why a Christian can be of good cheer in the midst of trouble. Where others sink down into despair, the Christian is of good cheer. Because they say, the troubles that are coming upon me, the Lord Jesus will deliver me out of them all. You ever wonder why Paul and Silas, when they were in jail in Philippi, they were strangers there. There wasn't a friend to visit them in jail. Everybody in the jail that they encountered was their enemy. Even the prisoners mocked and sneered at them. They had been beaten. They had done nothing wrong. But they were beaten, and beaten most cruelly. And now they were thrown into the cell, and they were put into the stocks. Likely their ankles and their wrists were locked to the frame. They couldn't even lie down and sleep. What did they do? Did they look at one another and say, oh, Silas, how did we get into this mess? I don't know, Paul. I think it was your fault. You were leading us. Is that what they said one to another? No. It says they sang praises unto God. Their hearts were filled with joy. They were doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And they said, the Lord's going to cause the trouble that we're in to turn to our good and to turn to the advantage of the gospel. So we'll be of good cheer. We'll be of good cheer. And it did turn to the advantage of the gospel. There's real revival in Philippi. Oh, boys and girls, when you read your Bible, you will learn patience, because you'll see God's in control. We don't have to worry. Learn that lesson. Learn that lesson. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that the children here will advance in the knowledge of God, come to understand wonderfully that which will give them patience in the midst of all the troubles that may come. Help them to endure. Help them to wait patiently upon the Lord, knowing that He will bring to pass His plan and His purpose. Bless the school today. Grant, Lord, that the needs of the school, the challenges that face it, will be cast upon the Lord, for He says, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Lord, answer prayer for our school and for those who have been prayed for earlier. Bless them, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.